The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
Get on it.
Guys, we officially are out of time for the day.
Do not.
That's got me shook, lady.
Do not Google that.
Do not Google that.
Aaron's dying.
I don't know why you even wanted to look at that.
Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki, the real life shit we only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer.
So we are here for a wild time today, guys, because today we're here talking to you, telling your stories, your wildest stories, I should say. So if you are easily offended, get the fuck out of here because this is not for you.
Yeah, today we've got, like, honestly, one thing that's pretty impressive but also somewhat alarming is the fact that we did a call out on our Facebook group and we got, like, no joke, like
hundreds of emails. Within an hour. You guys are dying. So we're going to just bank them all and do another one for sure.
Yeah. So we've got them all filed away. We definitely will do this episode again. We've done one once before, but basically thought we'd bring you guys to the mic and anonymously tell your wildest stories. So we've got, like, travel stories. We've got people nearly missing, like, you know, losing their passports and, like, having to figure out ways around that.
And then the last story we are just recovering from now, which is a girl who has a very wild sexual encounter, and we Google it and it's fucking a bit on there, dub.
There's a bit on. It's true. So it's absolutely crazy. Join us on this journey, though, because it's pretty funny. Luce and I actually... We kind of, as you guys were telling these stories, sort of a few funny ones of our own that we wanted to share as we went along. So
we throw them in the mix, of course. And also we've introduced a new word to you guys today, which is our new intro word every time we have a wild story. And it is chee-hoo. Thank you, Jim Jackson.
Courtesy of Jimbo Jackson. But before we start, how was your week?
Well, all I can think about this week is the fact that tomorrow I'm going to see a psychic.
I know.
Like a crazy one. Not crazy as in like crazy, like as in crazy accurate, opposed, like supposedly.
Yeah. So this lady has like a, what, 3-month wait list or something?
Yeah, it's a really long time.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is, punters listening.
Talk to me.
Is that this psychic brought Lucy's appointment forward.
She did. And weirdly or not, I feel like I'm at a weird spot right now in my life.
It's been a big week on the tools.
It has been a big week. So it feels like it's like a great time for me to go and see a psychic.
Mm.
If the psychic said to me tomorrow, Lucy, go and live in America, even though you could get coronavirus, I'd probably do it.
Please.
I'd probably do it. I'd probably listen to what she said.
Yeah, but you've got to also take things with a grain of salt, as they say.
Babe, I have been waiting for some kind of direction in my life for the last year.
Yeah.
I will take it from anyone at this point. I would take it from Aaron. Aaron, you got anything to say to me? Aaron's just shaking his head going,
like,
shut up, Lucy.
Absolutely not. We've been gasbagging off air for the last half an hour wasting my time. So no.
Well, but anyway, that's not happened yet, but
no.
I will give everyone an update. Although I can't really give an update because...
I can just keep it safe to you if you want to.
Do you want me to tell you?
If you want to.
Oh, that was a very responsible reply.
But, you know, fucking absolutely here if you need.
Yeah.
No, but it's a weird thing. Like, are you nervous?
I'm intrigued.
Mm.
So we're going to have dinner with Jack, our skin lady, tonight, who you guys know. She's been on the podcast. She's a fucking hoot to boot. Actually, let's get her back soon.
Well, we have to.
But Nick was like, fuck, maybe we can do tarot cards with Jack tonight. And usually I'd be like probably the one pushing for that. But I was like, I don't want to fuck with my magic juju tonight.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
You can't. You just have to, I think, like, go in with like a clear mind and, like, I don't know. You never, like, want to give too much away or, like, confuse yourself. Like, this should be, like, a very isolated, special moment.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because we know a guy that went to said psychic, and we met another woman who went to said psychic, and both of them said it was so crazy bang on that this woman even knew people's names.
Yeah, which is crazy because...
And I don't even think we're going to tell you who it is just in case, you know, she gets influxed. I at least want to have my appointment first.
Oh, you mean the psychic. I don't think we should share that kind of information until we've at least gone.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. IYK, EYK. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing this week, and I will give you guys an update. I don't know what kind of level of update I'll give you, but you know, I'm sure I'll feel like I know what I can share after. But it's actually funny because we share a lot of our personal lives on the podcast to an extent, but also we actually don't at all. So it's kind of interesting. Like, I wish we could share more, just purely because I don't usually care, but because it's stuff that's
like when you're sort of pending yourself, you don't really want to like.
Exactly. When you're in the thick of it, it's kind of like, I don't really know if I should be sharing this because it's like, you know.
Some of our best bants is upon reflection.
Yeah. So, you know, stay tuned, guys. Hopefully in about 6 to 12 months, I'll have some reflection.
Give us time to spill the bones.
The toy.
The toy.
Sips the toy. What are you doing this week?
This week, I'm actually just kind of concentrating on my health and wealth a bit this week. I just ate like half a box of shapes and a chocolate muffin today. However, I'm back in normal shoes.
Yeah, so, she's back in a boot, girls.
Yeah, so I went to the gym this morning, which was awesome. I actually had a sweaty sesh, so I felt great.
Ooh, sweat sesh.
Sweat sesh. I'm getting skin needling this week. I'm just kind of doing a few things, like back at the sauna, trying to eat healthy or just eat the HelloFresh that's in our fridge.
Yeah, you know, we love our HelloFresh.
Trying to, like, chill out a bit because, when I was in Sydney, I sort of just ate everything that came my way, so I'm just trying to be a little bit healthier.
Good for you, doll.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
Nothing that exciting. It's no bloody psychic experience, but.
No, well, Nick and I were actually meant to go together, and then we thought, I feel like maybe the juju could get weird if we're both going at the same time. She'll be like, one of us walks in and then the next one walks in and goes, fuck, that's very similar vibes.
yeah, we're like,
feeling
let's split it up.
Very similar here.
Totally.
So, yeah, we just split it up and.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting my nails done. That's not exciting. But, like, I've got, like, a week of appointments. I was meant to see a naturopath.
Did you put them all into Basic
it?
Girl's Guide Diary, doll?
I did.
Good girl. Love that for you.
I actually need to make sure that naturopath thing is cancelled. But that's my next health and wealth goal, guys. I'm getting, like, a full body scan and getting on the tonics.
On the ton. Get on
this
the ton.
This is 30.
This is 30. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, doll.
See, I'm just, like, you know, having a glass of wine or three every night, you know.
Or a Corona.
Last night Corona's I had a Corona.
Corona's on Mondays.
Guys, actually, this is my recommendation for this week, and this is not sponsored. And also, for the girl that came at us saying, don't do sponsored recommendations, never once has our recommendation
been
sponsored. So shove that up your ass, you annoying person. Anyway, coming at you now with a recommendation that is not sponsored. Nick and I have been drinking the Naked Harvest Moon Milk occasionally before we go to bed. And I'm not going to lie, the first time, I have a really difficult time sleeping, which is honestly the worst thing ever because I used to be such a good sleeper. I don't have any issue falling asleep. I just have a huge problem staying asleep.
Yeah.
All night.
What initially wakes you up? Is it to go to the toilet or something? Or
It can be any. Nah, it can be. It's usually just like a weird jolt of adrenaline.
Wow.
And I think it's because I did hear that if you drink a lot, and I'm not saying that I drink a lot on weeknights, but just in life I drink a fair bit, it can be your body at a certain time, your liver starts to detoxify. And if you've got alcohol in your system.
Jeez Louise.
No.
Lucy's just working in that in overtime. It's working around.
No, but it's like if I have two glasses of wine with dinner. It's like my liver's trying to detoxify that alcohol.
Wow.
And it will wait. I did hear that. But I also suffer from, I don't think I have anxiety. I'm not an anxious person, but I do have sometimes the physical symptoms of anxiety. I don't know what that means. But like.
It's little things that like even your aircon makes a funny noise that you're not used to. Just little, you know.
Oh, the aircon making the weird noise. It's got to stop.
Wait, I just had an epiphany. It's like you've never gotten over that jet lag when you flew to New York.
Oh, that's That
was crazy.
Terrifying.
That was crazy.
That's been a long time ago, so please let's not hope that that's still why I'm crazy. That was like 2 years ago.
No, but I remember that you just really struggled with your sleep on that trip.
I really did.
And it's not really been the same since. How weird is that?
No, I was sleeping quite good at the beginning of last year. Anyway, this is boring chat, let's get into something a little bit more interesting, shall we? But anyway, my recommendation for the week is the Naked Harvest Moon Milk. It is not only fantastic at, you know, keeping you asleep, but also tastes like the most delicious little treaty.
It's honestly amazing. Packed with magnesium and zinc or something rather.
Yeah. What's your recce for the week?
My recce for the week is I just bought a new Aesop perfume.
Oh.
Yeah, so they only do four, and they're, I would say they're unisex.
We love a unisex.
Some are sweeter than
other,
yeah. But they are just like the yummiest, most fresh smelling perfumes. Like the one I got, it starts with T, it's like Tacit or something. But yeah, there's like four of them in there. Go in, you can get different sizes, like a little roll-on one that can go in your handbag.
Cute.
Spritzer. And yeah, they're fresh as fuck, baby.
Speaking of perfumes, we've also both been trialing the Who Is Elijah unisex scent. And that's really good. Nice too.
Yeah.
Just, again, not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
Don't come for us. But anyway, let's get into these punters' wildest stories, because we put a call out on our Facebook group only about an hour ago, and we have been inundated. I think we've gotten over 100 emails from you guys with your wild stories. So I cannot wait for us to start to read them. So for these stories though, Nick, at the beginning of every story, we're going to make a sound effect, and this is Jimbo Jackson's latest thing.
Alrighty. Three, two, one. Chee-hoo!
Punter's wildest story, number one.
Let's go. Okay.
Chee-chee.
Hello, Queens. Do I have a story for you?
Give it to me, Queen.
I'm sure if it's classed as wild as it doesn't involve the usual getting on the piss or getting punched in grease by a random, but here it goes.
Oh, good. I love when there's some variety.
I know, because sometimes I was like, shit, we've got a lot of threesome ones coming through. It's probably us putting that in the universe. Sorry, Queens.
But, literally, neither of us had a threesome, so there you go.
Yeah, no, bloody.
At least some of you are getting some.
Treat yourselves. Okay. 2 years ago, while still in college, my friend and I were sitting in class, last period. It was a really hot day, so we were keen to get a cheeky thick shake after school.
Yum.
When class finished, we went to go grab our bags, and we met up at the canteen to walk to my friend's car, which was parked across the street from school. Outside our school, we noticed two boys from our grade and their big fuck-off utes, double parked in the middle of the road, windows down, having a full combo. Naturally, we think, are they serious? We look left, we look right, cross the road, and as no cars are coming. As we got to walk across the road, the boy who was double parked in the middle of the road starts his car and takes off without looking up. Safe to say, I was flung over the bonnet like an AFL player taking a specky, and my friend's foot was flattened by his tyre.
Holy dooly! Oh my God.
But it doesn't end there. I'm on the ground crying. My friend is screaming out in pain, thinking her foot is broken, and out of the passenger seat climbs my boyfriend, who was in the car and saw me, his girlfriend, Specky the windscreen, as they were all heading to footy training. He climbs out and runs over to me, and the dude that was driving obviously felt so bad, and he'd only had his license for 3 days. Pretty sure he also lost a couple of demerit points and got a fine. Anyway, someone ran to the office lady from school to help. Office lady then ran from inside school to our aid, to only to have some sort of asthma/anxiety attack when she got there from all the running, probably only 200 metres, lol. So then two ambos were called and we were both taken to hospital. Keep in mind, one of the paramedics had to help the office lady. My boyfriend indeed went to training and didn't come to hospital with me. I was fine, but my friend did break her foot and was in a moon boot and had crutches. The guy who hit us has barely spoken to us since. Awkward.
Oh.
Wow, bit on. Okay, can I just have a moment for the office lady?
What a legend, though. Like, I can almost envision it.
It's like Fawlty Towers, just one at a time, just dropping like flies.
Oh, my gosh. Oi, that actually reminds me, though, of a crazy time when my friend Boyd, same thing, he must have been in grade 12 and I was in grade 11 and he'd only just gotten his license. And he was coming over to our house to say hello one afternoon, and he drove over my foot as well.
Oh.
Like just on just one tire. Like it's not like the whole vehicle went over. It was just the one back tire. He just started driving while my foot was right there and went straight over, but it didn't break it.
Yeah, my cousin, my dad ran over my cousin's foot and he was barefoot on a dirt road. Imagine how much that would hurt.
Yeah, well, I was barefoot, but not on a dirt road. I was on pavers.
Ouch.
But it didn't... Like, it didn't feel good.
Oh, my God. This is reminding me of the time we nearly missed our flight to America and the taxi driver ran over Carlene's foot.
Should we tell that story?
This one. Let's mix it up.
Okay, what did we do that day? What, how? Because I forget how.
Have we told this story before? It's fucking funny, man.
I don't actually remember it, so you're going to have to refresh my memory.
Okay. So this can be our wildest story when we were indeed festival punters.
Still are, Dahl.
So we were going to America. We had gotten a very big job with it was the first time we were ever going over, I'm pretty sure.
With Camilla.
Yeah. So Camilla had given us a budget. We're going over there to shoot content. Like, we're just honestly feeling like the luckiest girls in the world that we've been down to Sydney, picked up all our styling. Carlene came with us. You know, we were, had all of our concepts planned for shooting. And
wow, we were so excited.
So excited. Anyway, our flight was leaving Brisbane at about 6 a.m. the following day. And we, Lucy and I, always pack the night before. Like, people that pack months before a trip, aka Emily pointing our assistant, that's why you are our assistant, because you're very organized. But so we'd been up all night packing, and we'd, you know, we were,
oh,
like,
we
just
were packing
procrastinating.
Until like 3 a.m.
Well, we were kind of like, we were like, oh, let's just procrastinate. You know, if we're up late, it doesn't matter, because it's better to be tired on this early morning flight so that you don't end up super jet lagged. Like, we can just conk out on the plane.
Yeah, so
then
true.
Then we're like, actually, fuck it. Let's just actually stay up all night, not sleep till our flight. That's a good
idea. Yeah, because we were packing really late. Like, I'm talking like 3 a.m. and we're like, we have to leave in 2 hours. We may as well just
yeah,
stay
and so
up.
Like, we put a tan on at like, you know, say 10 p.m. Shana was our neighbour at the time. If you know, you know. He was like bringing us over goon bags.
IYKYK.
Yeah, and we were just like having a time. Anyway.
That's right. We both got like pissed.
We were both like, fuck, actually, I'm so tired. Let's just jump into bed.
For an hour
you
or
know,
something.
Have a couple hours, shut eye, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I just wake up like super peacefully thinking it's my alarm. It's my phone ringing. And I'm like, what the hell? And I look at my phone and it's Carlene calling. And I'm like, what? And the time is like, you know, we should have well and truly been on the road.
We should have been picking Carlene up
and
at this point.
Yeah, and she's
halfway to Brisbane.
Yeah, we would have been about, you know, 10, 15 minutes late to be picking Carlene up. Fuck.
And we were, you know, half an hour away from Carlene at that point.
Yeah.
So we were like really
we were pushing
up.
It.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so then I just leap out of bed and I just run into Lucy's room and burst open her door and I go, get up. And she goes, what are you saying to me?
If there's one thing about me too, I am the most.
She gets in the horrors.
I get wake up so like. Like if
spooked.
Someone,
if, absolutely spooked. Like she wakes up like, where am I? Like I'm not
it
even joking.
To me on the weekend, actually.
Did it?
Someone woke me up. They were there holding my foot when I was asleep and just staring at me. And I went, get away from me.
Where were you sleeping? That sucks for you.
Yeah. And so I'm like, get up. And I'm like, also like stressing myself. Anyway.
Lucky we lived together at the time. Wow. And we just got our bags. Pulled them down the stairs. Like, they were heavy too. I just had all this crazy strength. Jumped in my car that used to break down all the time.
The Assie.
Assie. We called Carlene back and we said, babe, sorry, we're thinking on our feet here. Change your plans. We've slept in. You're going to have to get to a servo on the motorway so we can just jump off the motorway, grab you from there.
She's starting to get shitty at this point, but we're like, sorry,
so Carlene has the shits and she's like, you're kidding, girls. Like, what happened? What happened? We're like, oh my God, nothing. We'll just see when we get there. Meet us at the Smith Street servo, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but hang on. We're not even out of Burley by this point. Lucy and I are already pissing ourselves laughing like, oh, can you believe it? We've, you know, our first big break, we've absolutely coached it.
We're still probably at this point going to miss our flight, but we're just pissing ourselves
anyway,
laughing.
And I'm just there like, bruh, get two fucking fines on the way
not
to the airport.
Not one, but two speeding fines.
Two speeding fines. We pick Carlene by this point. So it's like, what, you know, 5 o'clock in the, no, it would have been like 4 in the morning.
No, it was like 5 or 6.
Wasn't our flight at 6 though?
No, our flight was at 10.
So they're cruising along and then we like, you know, Lucy's opening the doors. We're like driving to this server, Carlene, get in. And Carlene goes, she like storms out of the car with her bag. She's like, girls. And no, we go, oh, Carlene, can you believe it? She goes, we'll talk in the car.
Oh, yeah, and we went, got roused oh, on no, by she, Carlene.
She roused us so hard. And Geordie, her partner's like,
good luck girls.
And we're like, see you, Geordie, brah. Back on the highway, brah.
Another bing. Speeding fine.
Another speeding fine. And anyway, we get because we're literally like, we're pretty broke as well.
We were battlers too at this
so
point.
So we had to, you know, the old parky car somewhere close to the airport.
This is a life hack that I learned from a very young age, and unfortunately poor Nikki's had to jump on board and do it as well. But now that we, you know, have a little bit more budget behind us, we can afford to park at the airport. But we always used to do this thing where we would go and park on the street in like a suburb near the airport.
Splitsy and Uber.
And then splitsy and Uber to the airport. So it always adds like an extra like maybe half an hour onto your trip.
You're already there. You're stressing about getting to the airport. Airport, and then you've got to quickly pin drop your location because who the fuck knows where you are.
And where to order the Uber to.
Get the Uber. Oh, right, Nick, this spot looks like it's pretty residential. I reckon it's free parking.
That was my exact words. This area looks pretty residential. Let's go it.
Nikki's like, Arlene's like, why can't I miss our flight? And we're like, we're right, Arlene. I've just been going like fucking 100 zillion kilometres to get here. Park the car at some random thing, like it's like very industrial. Anyway, no yellow line, bonus.
Thank gosh.
And then we get the Uber, rocks up. We're getting out all of our millions of bags. I'm like, you know, Lucy and I, we're pretty strong sort of chicks. Like we're just like fucking throwing bags in the back of the car. And Carlene, you know, she's got like a fabulous travel outfit on. She's got all of her luggage, all of her camera bags. She's trying to get stuff in the car. And then we're like, all right, go, go, go to the Uber driver. And then we realise Carly's not even in the car yet. She's like got a really heavy camera bag on like the side of her shoulder trying to get in. He's just like taking off, runs over her foot.
She's like, ah, my foot. And he runs over her foot.
It was so funny, and we're just like, oh shit, Carlini, right? She's like, fuck this. And we're like, oh, is your foot okay? Oh my god, is your foot okay?
And we felt responsible, even though it wasn't our fault, but we felt like it was our fault. That
well, you know, we were just leading her on this like wild, wild journey to the airport. Anyway, we get to the airport, like just in the nick of time, and then all our bags were over. We had to fucking unpack shit. Like it was.
Oh, then we realized we're at the wrong airport.
Oh my god! And then we yes, that's right. So we get there, lo and behold, with just enough time to probably make this flight. And then they're like, "Hurry up, girls! What's all these details?" Like trying to share our documents. And she goes, "No, no, you're flying to Sydney first to get on your international flight.
You need to go to the domestic airport." And we're now. Like, "You're kidding me!" So then we went to the domestic airport. We flew
but
to Sydney.
But that kind of also was a saving grace because it gave us a bit more time to get on the plane.
It did. So we flew to Sydney. But this actually, you know, this story even gets better. So we've got this little thing that we like to call our weirdo magnet. And so I've grown up with it my whole life, unfortunately. I've been cursed with the weirdo magnet. Runs
mine
in my family.
Started happening when I met Lucy, to be honest.
Now I've rubbed it off onto poor old Nick. It's contagious. But so we get on our flight to Sydney. We get to Sydney. We get to the international airport in Sydney. We're going to make our flight. Fucking happy days. Carlene's got a broken foot, but whatever. She'll be right. Get over it, Carlene. And then so we get on the plane to go to America and we sit down next to Nick, Carlene and I have like this fun thing where we're like, because we've flown to LA together so many times now. We like, you know, have the first meal, have a big glass of red, even though it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and then just like have a Valium and go to sleep the whole time.
Yeah. Get on the carbs and the booze.
Yeah. And then just fall asleep, which is just, it's just blissful. Anyway, we get on the plane and Nick and I are sitting there next to this woman and she starts telling us her life story. And of course I ask 1,000 questions so that she keeps telling us more because I'm very intrigued. And basically this woman has had this on again, off again. This is like not really relative to the story, but I'm telling it anyway because it's interesting as fuck. This on again, off again affair with this man who's married
So he had a whole family in Switzerland, but yeah. They met because he worked in America. And she had essentially been his secret girlfriend for years.
Yeah, like literal years. But then I think he'd called it off and he'd very much not spoken to her from the vibe I was getting in a long time. And like I was like, read the room, doll. He's not interested anymore. He's obviously like back with his wife. But then she was basically made this executive decision
to go over and surprise
him. So she's on the flight to LA to go and surprise him. He doesn't even know that she's coming. She's had about 3 reds at this point and a Valium and is telling us her whole story. And me and Nikki were just like, oh my gosh.
It was a wild story.
This woman is about to go over and potentially get really rejected. Or it's going to go very well for her.
I wish we looped in with her doll.
I know.
Could have her on the podcast.
And I think she was so nervous and like quite, you know, almost drunk at this point because she'd had a few drinks in the air that she was just telling us like so many details about, and I was so interested at this point. I just wanted to know everything. She was telling us everything. And, you know, I just got to put it out there. Life's a journey, and that chick was living it. She was on that journey.
She was on that journey and she was doing it for love.
Well, he had a wife, so I don't know about that, but whatever. C'est la vie.
Thank you.
This little thing I like to say.
For those listening at home, that's what happened the other day. Lucy goes, ah, c'est la vie. And someone said to her, what does that actually mean? And she goes, ah, it's just this little thing I like to say. We're like, no, no, it doesn't. What does it mean? Like, whatever will be, will be.
Such is life.
Oh, potato, potato.
Yeah, Emily goes, what does c'est la vie mean? And I go, oh, it's just this little thing I like to say. And Emily goes, just looks at me and goes,
I don't think that's right.
Oh, so good. All right. Now, wildest punter story number 2. Chee-hoo! Nikki, you've got a chee-hoo.
Chee-hoo! All right. Wild story. The day I nearly lost my life savings. Okay.
Okay. Tell me more.
So, a little backstory. Ever since the age of 14, I knew I wanted to go on a gap year after graduating to explore Europe and stretch my wings a little. I got my first job at age 14 and started saving 4 years in advance. We love the commitment. I worked several horrendous hospitality and retail jobs all through high school and came out of it with a fair amount of savings for a 17-year-old. I'd watched several of my cousins depart on these amazing gap years, working in boarding schools in England, travelling as much as they could during their time off, so it was my ultimate goal. Now, getting a job in an English boarding school can be pretty difficult. Most jobs are handed out through one company that acts as the middleman between the schools and the gappies in Australia. This company charges a fair amount to get placed in one of these schools, plus add insurance, flights, visas, everything else on top of it. So I took a year off after graduating, worked full-time, saved my little ass off to afford it. Okay, you get the picture. I have worked so hard to get this opportunity. Moving forward, I land a job at one of these highly prestigious schools and I'm about a week off departing for England. My mum and I then discover this never heard of before rule regarding Australian passports. Basically, you have to have 6 months valid on your passport in order to travel. My passport had a year and 3 months validity. My passport had a year and 3 months on it. Totally fine, right? Except I would struggle to enter Australia again when I came home in a year. Basically, would only have 3 months left on it when I returned. So fuck, what do I do? We called the post office, gave them this entire story. The lady tells us that we can come in ASAP, renew my passport, have it fast-tracked to England, and all would be good. Keep in mind, I'm meant to be departing in the next 24 hours at this point. So we go through the whole process, my new passport photo, new documents, the lady at the passport office knows I'm leaving the next day, etc. Well, get this. My mum pays a $500 fee to have my new passport prioritised and sent to me in England. Once she's gone ahead and tapped her card, the passport lady grabs a pair of scissors and cuts my current passport in half. You've heard me.
No.
This poor little 18-year-old who has invested her entire life savings into a gap year, meant to depart for London in less than 12 hours, has just had her passport cut in half. I was hysterical. My mum and I scream, she leaves tomorrow. And everyone in the post office is shocked. I'm bawling my eyes out. The post office lady breaks out in a rash. And at this point, I had no hope. I call the company that I'm doing my gap year through. And they basically tell me that my visa will be void. This alone costs thousands to acquire. I was shattered. It just so happens that the owner of the post office had a daughter that I went to school with who was there at the time. The owner happened to have a connection to the Australian Passport Office, who she called. My mum and I were essentially told we could show up at the Brisbane Passport Office the next morning, the day I meant to leave, and hope for the best. I had to get all sorts of documentation from the boarding school to prove the urgency of the situation. This was hard in itself because of the time difference. On top of all this, the company that I was doing my gap year through basically told me I could take the risk, but I was going to lose the credit for my flights if it didn't work out. Another potential $2,000 down the drain. Mum and I departed the Sunshine Coast at 5 a.m. the next day, walked into the passport office at 8 a.m. and had a new passport by 1 p.m. What a ride. Whoa. I departed for England that night and have a fantastic story to tell. The following year, I carried my two passports around over 20 European countries. My visa was in the old one, and had to explain to every border security station why I had a passport that was issued on the same day as my departure date. I guess that's a fair question. If my mum's payment for my new passport had gone through, none of this would have been salvageable. We still wonder to this day how it all panned out all right. It's like the travel gods were watching over me or something. I still wonder whether that lady at the post office thinks about us sometimes. She fed us incorrect information all day and nearly cost me and my family over 10 grand and one heck of a dream of mine. Anyway, that's my story. Moral of it all, don't trust post office staff.
Oi, sorry.
Going to swoop in here with another story.
Literally, I was thinking that.
The whole time that you were just reading that, I was like, wow, okay, Nick and I, well, it's mainly me, but Nick was obviously on this journey with me. So firstly, can I just say, I get you, girl, because...
But, like, honestly, secondly, meant to be queen, you were meant to have that gap year.
Fuck yeah.
Get it.
Get it, God.
Get it, gap year, God.
Get it, girl. So, we, Nick and I, were bridesmaids for one of our friends. And, you know, as we do, we never do anything in halves. We went all out. And we decided to surprise her by breaking into her house in the middle of the night, singing Past That Dutch really loud over a Yui boom and surprising her with flights to Bali. So we had this whole skit planned out. It was like we had organized, you know, Nick and I had organized all this free accommodation that we were going to do spawn for.
We had like taken over a whole nail bar for an afternoon. So we all had like a pamper sesh together.
We'd booked out the whole nail bar.
Booked out our favorite Bali chef to come and do like a full lunch at the villa.
Hey, in hindsight, sorry.
It was off its head, doll.
It was like, if I don't get the most epic hens ever, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh,
anyway.
Babe, you will. But also just a quick disclaimer. The whole, like obviously again, Luce and I will always organize a banger. But we are very unorganized slash sometimes very last minute. So we pulled this together in about, you know,
2 weeks, 2 weeks or something. And this was
and
like
so
a group
everyone's
of-
kind of already like, what are we doing, girls? What are we doing? We're like, trust me. Yes, we're definitely going to Bali. Leave the itinerary to us.
Literally. So, and we weren't even the maid of honor, by the way, just a side note.
The Mo.
Anyway, so we've organized this epic trip and the day before we go to Bali, there's a rule just for everyone playing at home, make sure you know this. You can't go to Bali if your passport is up less than 6 months left. Basically, it's to avoid people from going over there and then their passport's expiring or whatever. Mm. Is from my understanding anyway. So I realized the day before, or actually no, it might have been about a week before that I needed a new passport because my passport only had like 4 months left on it. And so I'm like, oh, it doesn't really make sense considering I'm only going over to Bali for 4 days, but I'll have to go and get a new passport. Went to the post office and same scenario. Basically, the postman told me that the guy at the post office said that if I didn't have to pay the because you can pay to expedite your passport so that it gets done really quickly. But he's like, no, don't worry. You've still got 7 days. You'll be absolutely fine. And I was like, okay, well, if you're the guy at the post office, you surely know, like you do this every day. Wrong. Mm. It gets to the day before and my passport still hasn't been delivered. It's like, you know, still in the processing phase or whatever. So it's the day before and not only like am I going on, like meant to be going on this Bali trip, but like the Nikki and I going together was like an integral part of it because we had A, organized everything and B, organized a lot of stuff through our Instagram.
Oh, and she would have been like devastated.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's like if I didn't go, all the girls would have had to fork out all this money for accommodation. It would have been a bloody nightmare, dolls. So the day before, I can't exactly remember what happened, but I'm just calling absolutely anyone and anyone that will listen and helped me figure it out. And eventually we ended up being able to get it picked up from the Brisbane post office. Same thing, pretty much.
Yeah.
Brisbane passport office. But then because I couldn't go myself, I had to do all these special approvals with like photo ID to let my friend Grace go and get it.
Yeah, that's right.
Just full on crazy nightmare. But
we got there.
We got there and thankfully I was able to go. But like what a nightmare.
And that's it. It's like if you do like even this girl, like if you get something like that done, you've got to be prepared to jump through a few loops to do it because it's like hard work. So if you like, I couldn't be bothered, you'd just be like,
what do you mean, organising like, your hens?
No, like getting all your passport stuff ready, like getting all your supporting documentation and driving around the countryside and like.
It's a nightmare. Like, yeah, crazy. Wow, I can't believe we've had stories to like support these two other stories. All right, are we ready for number three? Ready?
Chee-hoo! All right, chicks. I went to Japan with my boyfriend and two other couple friends of ours. We were in Tokyo and I had a big night on the sake.
Girls, girl. Saki, 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 saki.
Tuna.
Tuna.
We were on one of the last trains home at 11:30 p.m. at night when me, an absolute wanker on the piss, decides she's mad at everyone and wants to run away.
Oh, just that sounds familiar.
Just as the doors are closing to leave this fandom station, I run off the train, leaving my boyfriend and the others on the carriage carrying on without me. All I remember was waking up on a different train with vomit all over me. I started to get really scared. I got off the train and took to the streets to see if I was familiar with any of the surroundings, but turns out I'm in the freaking streets of Japan. No clue where I am, no 3G, no Wi-Fi nearby, essentially lost where no one speaks English. The trains have now stopped running. I can't read Japanese, so I was lost.
Wow.
Meanwhile, my boyfriend and friends had been searching in the city for me, have filed a missing persons report with the police and have gone to every train station on that line to see if they can find me. I'm crying on the street all by myself, but eventually the sweetest Japanese angel of my life who spoke English and was very concerned gave me yen to the value of about 50 Australian dollars and he spoke Japanese to a taxi driver who directed him to my Airbnb.
Oh,
I get out of the car approximately 4 hours from when I first went missing to my own non-impressed pals and spent the rest of our time in Tokyo making it up to them by being sober and almost getting dumped on an international holiday.
Oh, I wonder
Ili
if she's still with him.
You were a lifesaver.
Oh, thank goodness.
That's one thing I'll say. You can't go MIA overseas.
Nah, you can't. It like I'll run the gauntlet, push the boundaries, but I won't do that to you.
But even you've done it once in Paris, you got home safely.
Babe, I'm really good with directions.
Ridiculously good with directions. But even then, you're still fucking worried, bro.
That's so true. But I am really good with directions. Like, I would never do that and risk people, like, being concerned for my safety. I'll let them know I'm pissed off, but I will never, ever let them be worried for my, like, safety. I almost tried to book another hotel that night, but it was too expensive.
She's like... She's not that out of her mind drunk. She's there like organising alternative accommodation. So we know she's looking after herself. She's all right.
I'm angry, but I'm still there trying to negotiate a better rate at the local fucking Holiday Inn, doll.
I'm angry, but I'm using hotels combined to find the best rate with 24-hour check-in.
Literally.
And maybe a free brekkie to account for us having to spend another night of a comp.
Literally one night, Nick and I had a huge fight in San Francisco and I was like, fuck this. Went and booked myself another hotel for the night and woke up in the morning.
I got out of the shower or something. I'm like, you're kidding. She's fucking rolled out of here.
And I didn't even pay for it on the work card. I paid for it on my personal card. Fucking stupid idiot.
Yeah, well, chuck a tandy, pay for it, doll.
Fair enough. Chuck a tandy, pay for it, doll. Chee-hoo!
We have yet to do one. In unison. Let's try that again.
Ready?
Three, two, one.
Chee-hoo! Nailed it.
All right. So this is a wild AF story according to the subject.
Tell me more.
So it all started at the airport in Mykonos. My friends and
love
I were
that
waiting
airport,
for
by the way. I've been there a few times.
Fuck, we've seen some hot blokes at that airport from Berlin, actually. Beautiful tattoos.
No, that was in Croatia, Hansa.
Oh, it was too.
And I'll never forget. He had a cube tattooed on his arm and it was so scandy. Hot. It was so scandy.
I love that.
I feel like maybe that guy at the Croatian airport might have been my husband and I never will know.
Well, that means he's not your husband. He's a a star-crossed lover?
Well, I've, like, not a day's gone by that I haven't thought of him.
Oh, fuck off. You forgot he existed, bro. Okay.
Not a day's gone by. Literally haven't thought about him since I was 21.
Okay. So it all started at the airport in Mykonos. My friends and I were waiting for our luggage and we noticed this guy who looked exactly like Justin Bieber. After a few minutes of staring, we realise it's not him, but it is in fact Tana Mongeau's ex who looks exactly like him and who is
not
also,
Jake Paul.
And who is also extremely hot.
Jake Paul doesn't look like Justin Bieber, just to clarify, but maybe she's got another ex.
Anyway, we grab our luggage and head off to our Airbnb. Later that night, so context, Tana Mongeau is like one of the biggest
YouTubers,
yeah.
Yeah, in the world.
So she's like
she's a viral content creator.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they call them, but they're like on another level.
She won a trophy in her agency for making like the most money or something.
Oh, that was on OnlyFans.
Okay.
But no, she was the YouTube talent of the year last year, I want to say. Don't quote me on that exact title.
Oh, wow. Okay. Brad Sousa is her ex-boyfriend and he does in fact look like JB. We've just got him up.
Oh, yeah, wow, I'd root him for sure. He's hot.
He's definitely the uglier version of JB, but he's a version nonetheless. Anyway.
Fucking put that in your pipe and smoke it, Brad.
Later that night, we convince our only single friend to DM him on Instagram asking what he's doing that night, thinking he would never reply. Suddenly, 3 minutes later, he replies.
Oh, come stop.
Come to Cirque tonight, a club in Mykonos, and say Henry at the door. We literally race back to the house to wake up our friend, telling her we were absolutely going. We're all super excited and went to the convenience store next door to buy whatever alcohol we could find. Ended up buying this random Greek spirit that tasted like actual petrol. This was right where our night took a turn for the worst. We started drinking this straight and sculling it and obviously ended up extremely wasted. Trying to get that social lubricant, poor dolls.
Social petrol lubricant.
Literally. And then we went to the club and met up with this famous guy. They had the full-on bottle service going and we were being fed alcohol nonstop. I was blacked out by this point, so I'm just going off what I've been told. Next thing you know, apparently I've fallen all over the table, knocked all the $300 bottles over. Obviously, I get kicked out, but my friends were all too drunk to realise.
Oh, no.
Fast forward to me waking up in the middle of nowhere in
Mykonos.
Either
that or they just don't care because they're like, we're not leaving this famous dude.
Oh, babe, let's hope not for her sake. Next minute, fast forward, waking up in the middle of nowhere in Mykonos inside this random clinic with a drip in my arm. No phone, no bag or anything. I have zero memory from the night before and had no clue where I was. Strangely, I felt as fresh as a daisy due to the constant IV pumping fluids into my arm all night. So I got up and asked to leave. I thought my friends would be going crazy trying to find me and that I needed to get home ASAP. Walked out of the hospital, realised I had no clue where I was. Keep in mind, I have no phone or maps. I end up following the road down to the ocean, somehow made it into town after getting blown over 5 times by the extreme wind. Wait, can relate. It's so fucking windy
in
Mykonos.
It's windy as in Mykonos.
Oh, it was August, wasn't it, Dole? Always a bit late with the wind.
Just for those playing at home, it's very windy in Mykonos, particularly in August.
Literally. She goes, Mykonos town is a legit maze. So then I spent the next 2 hours trying to eventually find our Airbnb. I get to the front door thinking everyone must be so worried. Worst part is I open the door and they're all fucking asleep. They had no idea I wasn't even in the room.
Oh,
moral of
no.
the story, don't buy random Greek spirits when in Mykonos and don't DM Justin Bieber lookalikes.
Or do, but yeah, that's really bad.
Or do, but don't, yeah, don't just ditch the spirits.
Yeah.
That's one thing though I'll say, because like when you're in America or Europe, whatever, and they free pour the table, you really end up wasted.
Babe, all I'm going to say is the last time I had a bit of a wild night on the free pour, well, not the last time, but a fun time, I ended up running through the Bellagio fountain with no undies on. That's a good time.
That's right. And screaming, bonsoir, where's my pasta?
Literally.
And we were like, oop, there's over JJ. You had a big day of
day drinking in the pool.
Oh my God. But the best part was as well is all day we'd been at this like raging pool party and some like one of our good friends actually showed me a photo of Lucy dancing in like the little shower thing.
No, that was recently.
So funny.
No, so we've rekindled recently with a good friend of ours called Nicole who we spent a lot of time with in Vegas many years ago. And she whipped out the other weekend when we caught up with her, a video of me, I believe it was pole dancing, at Encore Beach Club, absolutely looking like a drowned rat. And you know what was I thought was the most shocking thing of the whole video? Was how low on my hips my bikini bottoms were.
I know, you said that.
I was like, pull them higher, doll. Like, what's with the low-rise bikini energy?
Oh, it was crazy. I had the reddest eyes because I fucking partied all night when I was jet-lagged and I never recovered in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, and it's dusty and dry over there. But no, yeah, that night, that's then we went back and got ready and then we went out again. And they remember that video of me dancing with the street performer?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I ran through the Bellagio fountain and then I went upside down, backwards up a, you know, the handrail things that are run
That's
alongside
right.
an elevator. And then I'm pretty sure I got kicked out and went to bed.
Fucking Mems doll.
Absolute menace. Mems. Absolute menace. But right. always good. Good stories. We do have time for one lucky last story. Chee-hoo!
All right, so this one says, boy, do I have a story for you gals. Let me just preface this and say my friends are fucking wild. The seven of us get into some weird shit. I'm not sure how one of us hasn't ended up in hospital or dead.
Oh, hectic.
Morbid. Here it is. One night we were all at the Sunshine Coast having a wild as fuck night at the clubs when we noticed our friend Jasmine missing. This isn't unusual for Jasmine, but nevertheless, we called her multiple times and she didn't answer. The night continues and we all ended up at our Airbnb without her. We'd had such a big night, we stayed up to watch the sunrise. Still no sign of Jasmine after the multiple phone calls. And then she appears out of nowhere, walks through the front door in just a boy's t-shirt soaking wet. Note, this is the peak of summer with the no rain. And we're all shocked as to how she made it alive and wet. She tells us that somehow she's walked herself from the clubs to the beach. This is a 40-minute walk. She then decided she was going to take a swim in the ocean naked at 1 a.m. We all don't know how she didn't get eaten by a shark or drown. However, the story continues. Then she walks up the beach to find a random guy who proceeds to take her home in an Uber, gives her a warm shower and gets her an Uber to where we were staying. Jasmine at this point has lost her phone, her wallet and a dress she was wearing. How she didn't die or something worse happened, we don't know, but that is definitely our wildest story. P.S. We all love you. Jasmine, you can't do that to your friends, girl.
Yeah, you've got to do, like, go and have a wild night, be crazy and fun and whatever, but you can't just leave and not tell anyone where you're going.
I know,
it's really irresponsible.
Queen. But people, I'm glad that you got home safely, doll.
You have to always be able to answer your call. Okay. That was a quick one. We actually do have time for one lucky last. Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so I've lived my best life, travelled the world, had my fair share of good times, drunk times, and a whole lot more. Long story short, I was overseas working, and whilst living overseas, one-night stands were right up my alley on Ooh. My terms.
Good,
bring
good
them
for
home,
you, sis.
Send them off.
Get it.
See you never. This time, though, not necessarily see you again, but a good quick text was needed. Me being in the absolute drunken state brought home a male stripper.
Interesting taste.
Who on the night was working at a nightclub but not actually stripping, just as a dancer. He was Romanian, beautiful to look at, and I had seen him a few times over the past week, so I just thought, fuck, tonight's a night. Basically, I took him home, did the deed, woke up the next day struggling to remember, went into work to see the girls, and there was only one flashback I kept getting of this whole situation. The flashback was me remembering feeling all these little balls/bumps around the knob of his penis.
Sorry, that's alarming.
The more I thought about it, the more I freaked out thinking, oh my God, genital warts. Holy, that's what I get for taking home a random. I told the girls and they were begging for me to ask him if that was the case for my own safety. Well, here I am
fucking oath.
Sending him an awkward message saying, hey, last night was fun. Sorry, it was a bit of a mess. Just wanted to check in quickly. I vaguely remember feeling/seeing little bumps. Should I be worried?
Oh God.
To which he answered, hi, baby. Oh, no. Implants, baby, for much pleasure. All in his Romanian accent. Long story short, he had little ball implants put around the rim of his penis to pleasure the girls. He got a lovely little block and straight back to the see you never pile.
What?
Legit? I'm going to Google dick implants.
Oh, my God. She's going to Google it while we're in here. She's on the Wi-Fi. Wow. But... I mean,
oh my God, penile pearls. Implants in the form of beads or pearls. Wow. Penile implants.
Sorry, I had to like roll over and look at Nikki's computer. Hang on.
Okay, guys, I've just Googled it. Penile implants are inert objects placed beneath the skin of the penis through an incision. These are variously referred to as yakuza beads, pearls, ball bearings, speed bumps, penile marbles, inserts, etc. Should not be mistaken with therapeutic inflatable or semi-rigid implants used for surgical treatment. So basically it's all to increase sexual pleasure for both partners during intercourse and for more intense orgasms. I've never heard of that in my life.
All no, well, pics.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, I can't.
No, I want to see a pic. I want to see a pic.
Me and Aaron just saw a pic. I feel like I'm going to pass out.
That was the actual procedure that we just saw. I think I just saw a skinned penis. Like actual penis with no skin on it.
Guys, we officially are out of time for the day. That's got me shook, lady.
Do not Google that.
Do not Google that. I don't know why you even wanted to look at that.
I thought it was going to be a photo of the, like, not the actual procedure. I thought it was going to be a photo of the final product. But I feel so scared now. I'm never having sex ever again.
That was crazy.
That was enough to turn me off for life. Holy.
All right. That's officially all we've got time for. I'm glad you don't have genital warts, queen. Much pleasure. Godspeed. Anyway, guys, don't forget to rate and review. Hope you enjoyed this little bit of lighthearted bits for your Wednesday.
This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. To stay up to date with us, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram @we_the_wild_ones. Cheers, babes.